The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm wondering if any of you have any questions this morning, anything you'd like to bring up about the practice or teachings you've heard, or rather than me just speaking as if I think I know what's good for you, and guessing, it might be nice to hear from you what's up for you or what would serve you. I generally think that we're well served by silence and just sitting somewhere. So careful. We'll end up just sitting for the next 15 minutes here. Yes, please. If you can use the mic, that way everyone can hear.
Hi, so I have a question. So as soon as you rang the bell, all the aches in my legs went away.
What's that? What's that about?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think it's about?
I guess my mind changed its mind about me being able to sit here.
Your mind changed its mind, yeah. So what's the lesson for you?
I guess I should feel a little more confident about my ability to sit for longer and not worry so much. Because I think before you ring the bell, I'm worried that I won't make it to the end.
Yeah, so and what effect does the worrying have?
So the worrying makes my body tighten up and grip and get tired real fast.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Yeah. But as soon as you ring the bell, then the mind lets go of making the body hold on and the body just sits. It's like, thank you for leaving me alone because you went somewhere else, right? My mind went, oh, he's going to talk now. So I don't have to do this.
Great, fantastic. So you answered your own question.
I've noticed that I'm using a lot of visualizations, or there are a lot of visualizations that are associated with what I'm doing that I haven't noticed for a long time. So for example, when I breathe and I try to feel the breath, I'm visualizing breathing, like my body in front of me breathing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so there's a distance. I'm not actually feeling myself breathing.
Right.
I'm seeing and visualizing and imagining. And so there's a separation. I mean, I and the visualization are breathing at the same time, but I'm not really in the present moment. And I I'm getting, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to feel the breath in the body, I suppose. How to just be here.
Nice. Great. It's I think it's really good. You tend to think more in images than in words, you think?
I would have said that I think more in words. I certainly talk a lot in my head too. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure which I do more.
Okay. So certainly the mind has the capacity to visualize experience in meditation and connect through that. It's a way of thinking. So rather than thinking about the experience with words, you're kind of thinking about it in images or something. It's a way of connecting. And sometimes the images can be more creative than the words, so that some of the images maybe have other meanings or depth to it than just, you know, like if so. If maybe, you know, so I've known people who visualized their breathing being the wings of an eagle soaring. And somehow it was so inspiring, this idea of a soaring eagle, that it kind of kept them kind of engaged and nice, you know. It can keep you separate from your experience and get in the way of deep mindfulness, which is really to connect deeply with your experience. So it's good to see that and know that. On the other hand, sometimes using images can be connecting, because it brings you more interesting, maybe, or more engaging than your other fantasies. And so you're more likely to, it kind of gathers the mind, helps you get here, and to some degree calms you down. So some people will use images like that in order to arrive and to be here. And some people find that images, because images can be a little bit more constant than direct experience, some people will use the images to develop concentration. And so it's possible to get fairly concentrated with an image, and if what you want to do is get concentrated. In the mindfulness tradition, concentration is important, but we're trying to develop concentration together with mindfulness of the direct experience. So at some point, it's good to see exactly what you saw, and then give priority to the felt sense experience, the physical experience. And if you can let go of the images when you're no longer serving you, let go of it, that's great. If your mind can't let go of it because it's such a strong tendency, then it's nice to see if you can just let it recede to the background. And don't worry about it. Let it be in the background, the foreground. Try to stay with the body that's experience of breathing. Does that make sense, all that? Does that seem relevant for you?
It makes sense. I'm not sure that I can do it, but I will try. Thank you.
What you can also do, if the images are really powerful and you can't kind of free yourself of it, some people find it helpful to open the eyes and meditate with eyes open, because some people are less likely to have images then.
And I do, when I get caught and I can't figure out another way to come out of it, I open my eyes. But I find then that I go back and forth between eyes closed and eyes open, and eyes closed and eyes open, and it feels less settling.
Yeah, probably it is if you're going back and forth. So I think, you know, you should basically, you know, stick to one way. You know, maybe once or twice during the sitting, if it feels right, you can switch. But basically, you know, stick to one way through, you know, once you make a decision. Especially if you're in a transition where you're trying to learn how to be a different way, then you might need a sustained period of time where you meditate with your eyes open to break the habit of the imagery.
Thank you.
This is just a comment about her question. Would it be helpful for wanting to sense the sensations of breathing, to maybe perhaps put her hand on the belly or on the torso to bring that into the bodily? Would that be helpful?
Yeah, it could be. Could be to actually help you with the physical connection. Sometimes it's also can be helpful to ever so slightly breathe more deeply, consciously, intentionally, just so there's stronger sensations there, so you really connect to the sensations. But yeah, so there are little tricks like that that can be useful.
Experience the other morning when I was sitting horizontally. And I had an experience the other morning when I was sitting and I was going through a delusion. And finally, it was like my body woke me up and said, "What the heck?" And then my mind apologized. And my body just accepted it. And when my mind said, "I'm sorry," my body just accepted it. And it was a very different experience.
How nice. What a nice process.
Yeah, and it was like, it was like two parts, mind and then body.
Yeah, I like this. You know, the... What occurs to me when you say that is that it's fairly common among Buddhist teachers to talk a lot about acceptance. Just accept how things are. Be mindful and be accepting of yourself. So if you have a lot of delusion, it's very important to a certain kind of acceptance. I mean, not just keep barreling ahead with a delusion, that kind of acceptance, but rather, kind of a forgiveness. So it's okay to be this way. Have compassion. But... What I liked was you had a kind of a two-part. You actually apologized, and so that's taking some responsibility for it. And sometimes the acceptance approach kind of is like not really taking responsibility. It's just like, oh, it's okay, and this is what the mind does. But to take a responsibility in a healthy way and say, okay, I'm sorry about this. That sounds a really healthy thing, and then the body accepted it. Then there was an acceptance of it. Those two together seems like a nice combination. That's what occurs to me when you said, but anything that you want? Did you have something particularly you wanted to hear from me, or was just a report? It was pretty cool. I liked it. Great. Thank you very much. One more before we stop. Yeah, here.
I think it's on. Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I was noticing a lot of feelings come up, like with tension in my body, like staying with that and then feeling...
A little bit closer. Yeah.
Okay. So just noticing energy of feelings and... sometimes with that, my body wanted to move or kind of shake or facial expressions wanted to happen. And I'm just curious about allowing those to happen or kind of trying not to and trying to stay still or how to work with that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the best answer for you is to experiment a little bit and see what's helpful. The classic instruction that I was given in Asia and other places was to hold still. Don't let your body move, but not to freeze, but rather to give a lot of freedom to the energy inside to flow within a body that's held still. So you're not trying to resist it, but you're also not giving into it. But so you let the energy course through you, and that's one way to do it. Some people find that, however, is very limiting, and maybe even counterproductive. And sometimes some things really benefit a lot from being released, being freed, if we can allow the body to move a little bit. And so you can experiment with a little bit. I mean, In a group like this, meditating with others, you don't want to do it in a way that's distracting or disturbing for people. And so, you know, with this gentle movement, it's fine to experiment, see what that's like. Something's being freed up, and you know, maybe. On the other hand, there are people who give in too easily to their movements, and it becomes a little bit of an indulgence. Actually, they're participating and kind of savoring it or going along with it, and that can be actually very counterproductive sometimes if you're kind of giving into it or indulging or participating in it. I mean, participating is probably the right word. So you have to experiment, kind of see what it's like and what happens and the consequences. And if it continues for a long time, it's good to come and talk to a teacher about it. But you can play around and see. You know, and certainly it's good not to feel like you have to be, you know, strictly have one way with it. Well, great. Well, thank you. I hope for coming and practicing, and I hope that you're not too disappointed not getting a talk. But this is what happened when I sat down, so never quite know what's going to happen here. So now we have time for cleaning. Yes, go ahead.
We're transitioning to 15 minutes of cleaning, and at the end of the 15 minutes, you'll hear a bell, and at that point, stop what you're doing, put tools away, and come and join us at the social hall for closing. And once you know what you're going to be doing, please feel free to go ahead and get started. And may I have 6 people to work outside, sweeping, cleaning the grounds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And, okay, so maybe that's enough. And then 4 people to clean restrooms. 1, 2, 3, 4. The 4th restroom is upstairs, and each restroom has instructions and supplies, tools in it. And then someone to take out the recycling, take out the garbage. Thank you. And someone to vacuum in this area. Thanks. Someone to sweep the social hall. Excellent. Great. And someone to tidy up the kitchen, the refrigerator. Thank you, Cheryl. And anyone to clean windows, if we have additional people.